become power.
Amen.
Lord, tonight, people shall be empowered.
Amen.
People shall be engulfed with fire.
Amen.
People shall be healed in their body.
Amen.
And your name shall be glorified.
Amen.
As you have done before, you will do tonight.
Amen.
And it shall be so throughout this weekend too, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' anointed name, we are praying with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's take a seat a few minutes. Well, when it's Friday, I'm very happy. Because of what? Thank God it's Friday. Fridays all over the world. Christians lock themselves off in various places. Night vigils are going on in various places. Men are bombarding heaven in prayer and intercession. Go from nation to nation, you find them. And hell is suffering. Because when the prayers of the saints go up, the mercy of the Father come down. Is my mic okay? When prayers of the saints go up, the mercy from the Father come down. And I'm very, very much glad because of Friday. When I get to Friday, I'm very happy. Happy in the sense that prayer will increase. Amen. There was some time ago that I was privileged to be raised to spend that period of my life with my auntie. And I have a cousin. Every Friday, they gather themselves together and they go in their cars, going from one joint to the other in Lagos, Nigeria, and boozing. Amen? I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
And we have people in England, that's what they're doing now. When the fullness of time came, things changed. Today, every weekend, we go about preaching the gospel and praying, interceding for nations. What a wonderful God we are. When I was seeking God about you tonight, you know what the Lord told me to share with you? First of all, let me say that I'm sorry for not being able to have visited you for a long time. My heart is always here. And Pastor will bear witness to that, and Deaconess as well. I was very impressed and I think overgusted and flabberwhelmed, if that is permitted. When I saw Evangelist playing violin, I made a decision too. I won't tell you now. I mean, she's challenging us. The Lord told me to share with you something very significant and very much of concern in his heart. It is, you are not an ordinary child. The Lord told me to tell you that you are not an ordinary child. You are not an ordinary child. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 17. We'll read from verse 17. A good story there. I will read both NIV and King James Version. But if I start with the NIV, it says, As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they will die. Verse 20. At that time, Moses was born. Shall we complete that reading? And? Come on now, I'm talking to believers. And Moses was born, and? I can't hear you. The first question is this, why would he be born at the time? The reason why he will be born at a time is because He was no ordinary child. These are brethren from Birmingham. You're welcome. The Bible says, at that time, I love the word at that time. Can I announce to you the first thing? Your time on earth has come.
Amen.
I say that your time on earth has come.
Amen.
Apostle Williams don't just speak. He speaks what he hears. Now, let's go on the story. For 3 months, he was cared for by his father in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. Verse 23 says, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. And says the next day Moses came upon 2 Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating the other, pushed Moses aside and said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had 2 sons. And we stop at verse 30. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. What has this to do with us? Let me take you through it again. It begins by verse 17 and says, as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of Egyptians of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Those of us who are theologians, or if you're a Bible scholar or a Bible student, you recognize that whenever we use the word Egypt, it typifies the world. As God saved the Israelites from Egypt, God saved us from the world. And Pharaoh is a type of Lucifer who governs this world. That is biblical interpretations. Now, if you look at this in the context of now, whenever the time God's promise is to be fulfilled is near, what does God do? He rapidly increased his saints. If you look at the world today, people are getting saved like that all over the world. Don't listen to the media. The media is the most powerful weapon of the devil in our age, is the media. Television, press, you check those who own them. They are all, you know, in cults and stuff like that. But nevertheless, that's not a problem. And so the media have perverted people by misinforming them and misleading them. I've heard them say that Islam is the fastest growing religion. It's a lie. Lie from the pit of hell. I just had a team just came from China. I was supposed to lead the British contingent this year to China, but I couldn't because I had another assignment. And we went to Israel. The news that came to me, or report that came to me from the British contingent that went to China, is amazing. You see a pastor in China, so simple. And, you know, you ask him, you know, where is your church? Oh, it's just a little group in this village. You get in the group, there are 7,000 of saints, born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, crying to God day and night. Really, it came to my knowledge that the authorities of China now, God has entered into their midst and they are getting saved one after the other, those who rule China. Same thing, King Fahd of Saudi Arabia. I have met the guy that got plugged into that place. He's getting them saved. They're accepting Jesus Christ one after the other and getting baptized in the secret. I know of a group of princes from the royal family of Fahd, that is the ruler of Saudi Arabia. They gather at Kaaba. That is where you have the wall that they go around. Those boys gather there every day to have Bible study because they are princes. Nobody intervene. Nobody intercept them. When they gather together, people, you know, clear from that area because of their dignitaries. They cry to Jesus Christ in the midst of that stone day and night for the salvation of their people. I can tell you many more. The Bible says when the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise with Abraham, Abraham is a type of Jesus. If you look at the commission of Abraham, is to give back to the race of God. And the commission of Jesus Christ to give back to the saints of God. They are not equal, but God used those Old Testament to give a representation of what is about to come, which is Jesus Christ bringing the end to all histories. If you look at Moses also, he's a type of Christ because God sent him a mission to save his people from Egypt. And the Bible says when the time drew near for God to fulfill his Abrahamic covenant, what did God do? The number of God's people rapidly grew. So the fact that today the number of believers are growing rapidly, you know, we had what they call these guys in Iran, you know, the Hezbollah in Palestine, the son of the, you know, the guys who started Hezbollah, the very movement called Hezbollah, the head of all of them, his first son is born again, he's in the U.S. now. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can Google him when you get to him. Google Hezbollah born again and you will find him on the YouTube. Talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He explained how he had the encounter. The same thing with these military guys in Iran. One of their very tough squad guy. He got saved. Jesus descended into his room and he brought the light. Jesus prayed the gospel to him and he got saved and went about preaching the gospel among his people. So God is happening everywhere. He is happening everywhere. But then, what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus is about to come again. Because when the time came for God to fulfill his covenant, the children rapidly grew. So when the time is near now for Jesus to come for his saints, the number of people getting born again is spread like wildfire. So that is one evidence that the return of the Lord is at hand. Now verse 18 says, then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. I've told you, when you see Egypt, you talk about the world. Look at all the rulers of the world. They do not know the God of our Father. Britain is a Christian country, but is it now? Forget it. I was hearing a debate over Sharia law. Sharia law had been in this law of this country from 18-something. The first day I was taught in law, and I read about it, that Sharia law is engrafted into the laws of Great Britain, I said, oh my God. I never knew that. No wonder some guys in Stratford area declared a Sharia zone in England. And they were telling everybody, don't come here because this is Sharia zone. Really, they went forcefully to try and arrest people in London. Yeah. In London. And I began to cry that, do we have a law in this country at all? Do we have the police force in this country at all? And the police didn't arrest them. What about when they took the placard and the guy wrote there, I am ISIS. And he went to the parliament and he was standing there with his placard, banner, and no one could arrest him. Because there's no law that says you arrest an ISIS. What has he done by saying I'm an ISIS? Has he committed any crime to be arrested? A Christian country? Come on now. The Bible says another king came who knew not the God of Abraham. We have rulers in our country, Britain, who did not know the God of Charles Wesley, John Wesley. They didn't know the God of Coverdale, Tyndale, Charles Finney. Same thing in America. Thank God for the changeover. Hallelujah, somebody. 2008, I received some guests from the U.S., from the Congress. And they said, Apostle, they asked us to come to you and ask you, who will win in America? In my office in London. I said, let's ask God. And as we were praying, and God said, you see, that man who you did not accept, he will rule over America twice. Obama. And at that time, he was a loser. And God said to me, he will rule America twice. And God said, look at the other man who will take over from him. The man brushes his hair to the back. He said, and that man will take over from him and he will rule America twice. And he said, he will clean up that nation and bring them back to my cause. I'm not a politician. I'm not loyal to any mortal man. And then I said to them, go tell Obama that he will rule twice, but he must not disappoint God. He vowed not to, but he didn't keep his vow. All right? So, beginning of this year, God came to me again and said that man that I told you, he will rule America. So, I looked at all the people who filed out. This is the man I can see. So I picked my phone and called my guys there. I said, look, the last time, you know, I didn't want, you know, if I would vote, I wouldn't vote for Democrats. Is it Democrat they call them there? Yeah, if I would vote, I wouldn't vote for Democrats. That's personal opinion. But God said Obama will rule. So I told all my guys that back off. Because if you go against him, he will still rule you. So this year, when I saw the man who brushes his hair to the back, I called him. I said that, how many ears do you guys have? That is the guy I saw 2008 vote for him in the college votes. And they went and they voted him. He won. If you look at that man's winning, it is the most nonsensical winning. It is unideological, it is unpsychological, it is unintellectual, it is unpolitical, it is unscientific. Come on now. God is shaking the reliance of man because a king came who knew not the God of their father. If you look at the book of Judges, it says that and a generation came that knew not the God of their father and God sold them to Jabin. Read chapter 3 again. A generation came who knew not the God of their father, and God sold them into slavery for 18 years. Listen to me, therefore. So, because we have rulers who took over, who did not know the God of Europe and the God of America. America was built on the Bible. England was built on the Bible. France was built on the Bible. All right? And history cannot be eroded. These folks preach the gospel. The forefathers of these lands sought God, found God, wrote for God, and went all over the world preaching Jesus, died in nations, buried in those nations. Their corpses were not brought back to England. Mary Slezo, she has her grave in Nigeria till today in Calabar. And we can tell of many others, Paetin and the rest of them, they died in the mission field that were buried. But a new generation came. So now, what happened? What does the generation do that does not know the God of their father? The rulers, he dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they will die. Now, the government that does not know Jesus, what do? They oppress Christians. They make laws against Christianity. In the name of liberality, no? In the name of democracy, we have to accept everything. Everybody is right. You see? It looks good, isn't it? But if everybody was right, there's no need for Ten Commandments. Jesus wouldn't have come to redeem the sinners. The Bible says all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life only through Christ Jesus. He says that, you know, and God gave him a name that's above all names, at the name of Joseph, every knee shall bow. He says salvation is found in no one else. Neither is there any name under heaven by which man shall be saved. It should be blown. The trumpet should be sounded in the housetop. It should be sounded all over the city and nation. People should know. I was watching television today, and it's so strange. A boy or a girl, whatever she may be, she said when she was going to die, she said, I know I will die. Please don't let me die. Freeze me so that 100 years time, somebody will resurrect me again. She did not know that it is appointed unto man to die, but once, this is Europe, not Africa. And you know what? The news protested it. If someone is beheaded, it will be all over the news. If somebody kills somebody, it's all over the news. But when people do good, no news carries. Listen to me. The Bible says they oppress God's people. We're looking at the signs of the end. The first thing I said, the evidence that Jesus is about to come is the sporadic growth of Christianity. Second evidence is that the rulers of the world oppress believers now. Look at all our laws. Laws that are forbidden 40 years ago are now celebrated. In Europe, in America, in the name of secularism, we lost all sensitivity. And we are full of sensuality. But if you look at not only Europe, it's happening all over the whole world. It's happening all over the whole world. They make laws against Christians. I was shocked one day. I came into Heathrow and I saw some people praying the Muslim prayer right on the road there, and they went to the ground. And if I just took my Bible and began to speak in tongues, within 2 minutes, policeman will arrest me. Okay? So you know what I do now in those places? I put on my collar and a big cross. Okay? So when I put on that cross and I put on my collar, I look straight. I can lay hands on anybody on the road. Yeah, anyway, anybody can stop me. It's a bishop. Okay? You can stop me. Whenever you see me put that thing on, I want to brag some people. Yeah. That's the language you understand. I was walking on the streets of Victoria. I came out of the station, and as I was going in my cassock, on my cross, an Irishman ran across the road, knelt down before me right on the streets. And he did his hand. He said, Reverend Father, I want to confess my sins. And he began to confess his sins. He was just confessing his sins. He didn't even wait for me to give him permission. He was confessing his sins. And then when... You know, everybody was looking at us, and I stood like that, listening to my friend confessing his sins. The Bible says whoever confesses his sins shall be forgiven. So when he finished confessing his sin with tears, I said, son, you are forgiven. I said, now, have you accepted Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior? He said, what does that mean? And I told him about Jesus Christ. He said, I have him. I know him. Will you accept him now? Yeah, I have already. So, okay, now say this after me. Read a sinner's prayer, got him saved. Then pray for his wife because he sinned against his wife and his wife kicked him out. I laid my hands on his head and I prayed loud so that others who are passing can hear me. Okay? Why did that happen? My collar and my cross. And when I finish that, who is the next patient? Hallelujah, somebody. Everybody was going like that. I love it. And then everybody would go like that. I was in the one of these stations, what do you call this, Dockland rail? DLR. Yeah. Stratford Station. And I came down in my collar and my cross. And I stood by a man, and he had a cigarette in his mouth. And gradually, he did that, and the cigarette fell to the ground, and he stepped over it. And I pretended as if I didn't see him too. And everybody went, and I also went, hello? Listen to me. Laws have been made against us. America removed Ten Commandments from the Supreme Court. America banned people from saying Christmas, using the word Christmas on Christmas time. Britain has done it. Birmingham, go to Birmingham. Everything about Jesus Christ is taken away during December. All right? Because some people complained. Okay? We want to put a cross on top of our cathedral, and they said that it will offend some other people. And I decided that I'm going to put it anyway so that anybody who will offend will tell me why I should be offended. And if they will have to offend by it, they have to remove all this, their star and the moon in all their mouths all over the country. It's because of them I went to study law. So that if it's spiritual, we bind it. But if it is not spiritual, we fight it. They've made laws against our children. In America, just this year, they have legislated that children of 8 and 9 should be taught about homosexuality in the schools. But you know, by law, parents can opt out through PR. And then what Obama did was, he now set the table to put it under medical, which will force parents, and they will not be able to opt out. Thank God that Hillary didn't come in. She will have done that first. And everybody will be in trouble. And they decided that they would not only teach them, they will show them the act. Yes. Look at your books in England. All right? I was preaching in one of the churches in London, and a child was brought to me who they wanted to teach them about homosexuality, a child of 11, and the child said, I don't want it. And they said that, well, you have to. And the child said, he walked out. And because of that, he was suspended in England. All right? And the two men came before the students, 11, 12-year-old, and they were caressing themselves, teachers, in London. In London. Listen to me. All these things are going on. Why? Because the time has come that the Lord will fulfill his covenant with Jesus, bringing him back again. So, number of those saved will rapidly increase, but the rulers will not know the God of their father, and they will make laws to outlaw you and I. But will they succeed? No. No. Look at the next verse. It says, they dread treacherously. How did I know they would not succeed? When Moses was born, verse 19 says that Satan came up and said, let us kill all children of his age. And he went after, because of Moses. And because of us now, devil is mad. Okay? But God, in his sovereignty, used the same law against the devil. Every law the devil is using against you, God will use it against him back. I have no fear over prison. Prison is built for human beings, not for animals. Yes. As long as I'm put in prison because I'm preaching the gospel. Some of us will go to prison in this country shortly. Because we have been keeping quiet for too long, now we will speak out. We will lose our dignity. We don't want to be politically right or socially right. We want to be God right. They threw the boy into the sea. Hello? And sea, biblically, stands for tumults of life. Torments of life. Some of you have been thrown in your sea right now. You are going through troubles, sorrow, frustration. Let me say something to you. The God that you serve knows everything you will pass through before you went through them. Understand this. God cannot be caught unawares. Something that happens to you and I, God is not just saying, oh, did that happen? No, he knew before they happened. And if he knew, he could have stopped it. If he did not stop it, it's only for one reason, that God be glorified. Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
You can never have a testimony without a testing. You can never have a victory without a battle. So when there is battle, why should you be afraid? Come on, celebrate your battle because it leads to victory. Why should you mourn over tests? It leads to testimonies. Listen to me. The same water carried the boy. I expect the water, you know, to take the boy to the, you know, high tide. Just blow the boy away. And when the mother put the boy there, she lost hope of getting him back again. All right. Some of you are in that situation. But the small sister, the big sister, who was a small girl, started following behind. Why did God not allow that basket to go into the high sea? Because the Bible says God will not allow a testing for you that is beyond your faith. Okay? God was the one peddling that, you know, basket. And God took it to the woman who wanted to kill him. Knowing fully well that the Egyptians have this taboo about the God of Nile. So when a beautiful bouncing baby boy appeared from nowhere, the God of Nile brought him. Hallelujah, somebody. They did not understand that it's a God in heaven. He took the boy like an idol. He must have worshipped, celebrated. Because she is the sister of Pharaoh. But Moses was higher than the son of Pharaoh. Because the son of Pharaoh, they can tell his father and his mother. But Moses has no father, no mother. He came from the God. Are you with me now? So he just celebrated him. What about you? The Bible said, don't you know you are gods? You are sons of the living God. Yeah. Listen to me. The weapon the devil fashioned against you is the same instrument God will use to promote you.
Amen.
God will use the devil to strain your hands for war and your fingers for battle. I can tell you many testimonies of my life. I went to some nations and they told me some taboos. I don't believe in taboo. I don't. That was a nation I went and I was told that there's a forest where no man enters. People who entered it before me, they were killed. I said that is the best place to go because I want to die anyway. Oh, yes. I have known a friend who is bulletproof for me. I've known a friend who, when the enemy attacks me, he comes out of me, he surrounds me. He does not ask for my permission to protect me. All right? And I know a friend who has determined the number of my days. Blow my brain out, he will put it back together again. I have such confidence in He who lives forever and ever. Hallelujah. I went into the forbidden forest. We went down to the thick of the forest and to meet a man who had been deceived by Satan. The man came out of a little hut. He was floating in the air. His legs were not on the floor. His eyes were red like fire. His clothes were full with cowries. Those are gimmicks of Satan. I moved towards him. He fled into the bush. Till today, he's not found. Hello, somebody. That brought an end to that God they served in that forest in Ogiri, Nigeria. I am telling you this for you to have an understanding. The Bible is not a fiction. It's the manifestation of God for you. God wrote the Bible so that you and I can know this is your life. Look, do you pray for protection? He already protected you. Oh, la, la. I went to Jamaica. As I was standing in my crusade ground, behind me, from the airport, I went to the crusade ground. Behind me, I had some machine gun. And people ducked on the floor. I looked around me. Behind me, two people were dead. I called my son, get up from the floor. Get up from the floor. They get up from the floor. I said, can you explain to me what is happening here? The La Vega City. Oh, it's the Yardies. What do you mean by Yardies? And they told me about these guys. You know? Say, so why should they kill these other people? Oh, they are gangs. They shoot themselves. I said, now can you answer me this question? Why should it be when I'm here to look at my crusade ground that Satan is so insane, he shot people dead? Do you know their leader? He said, yeah, I want to see him tomorrow. The other bishop said, Bishop, what did you say? I said, I want to see the head of this Yardies tomorrow. He told me later on that he was going to say that, Dad, are you crazy? He said, but how can you tell your father you are crazy? And my son said, yes, sir. So that night they sent for them. The police have come with the soldiers, with ammunitions, got the whole place curfew. I'm doing crusade there tomorrow. Crusade started tomorrow. In the morning, I came in there with my cassock. You know, people were banned. You know, the police and army were there. I met the captain of the army and he saluted. I said, yes. He said, what can I do for you, sir? I said, I come to meet the head of Yardies. He said, pardon me, sir. I said, the head of Yardies. He said, those guys are crazy. I said, that's why I came. I said, he said, they can be talking with you and just blow your brains up. I said, that's not possible. I said, Captain, with your gun, can you shoot the spirit in them so that spirit is forever taken away from this city? And the captain said, no, sir. So your gun can kill a man and the spirit will go into another man. He said, yes, sir. I said, I can remove that spirit and take him to England. I just came from England. That's why I came. I came for people like them to be saved. He said, yes, sir. And he said, I'll tell my boys to point their gun towards you in case there's a scuffle, we blow everybody down. I said, you are free to do that. There will be no scuffle when I'm here. Why? Wherever you are, the master is there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You with me now?
Yes, sir.
Suddenly, some guys started coming with big arms and they were walking like that. Threat of the devil. The arm of flesh will fail you. Then I saw a man with a team of men. He was in the middle of them with chains and a big cross on his neck. Just like my cross. Okay? And he was just walking very calmly as if he was peaceful. And he walked straight to me and shook my hand and I hugged him. He said, okay, let's go. We sat down. I took my chair. I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Angel. And I threw my chair and drew near to his face. As I put my head towards his face, one of his boys stood up, the one with big arm, and he said, sit down. And the guy went to the floor. I said, that's authority. He did not look at him. I said, what is the meaning of angel? He said, messenger. I said, whose messenger are you? He was looking at me. I said, whose messenger are you? I said, you know what, angel? The one who created you and gave you the name angel sent me to you from England. And I began to share the gospel with him. 30 minutes, he broke down into tears, sobbing like a baby. He gave his life to Jesus right on the spot. He who does not lose his life cannot get it. He called all his boys and told them to hands off their guns. They came to my crusade giving their lives to Jesus, and God did extraordinary miracle. That was the place where God said to us the night before that, I will heal a crippled child in your meeting tomorrow. And I called all the team and said, God is going to heal a crippled child in the meeting tomorrow. So we got there tomorrow and I told everybody, see, come out. And everybody came out, the crippled child didn't come out. Yeah? I said, leaders, just lay hands on them. When God says he will heal anybody, it doesn't matter who lay hands on them. He will heal them anyway. And at the end of the meeting, where is the crippled child? Nobody came out. Because the mother of that crippled child was never in church. He was always going from one obeyman to another. Witch doctors. They called him obeyman there. He had gone to all hospitals. And when we finished the meeting, as I was coming out of the pulpit, the ushers came and said, Apostle, the woman who has the baby is just by the door. I said, which baby? He said, the paralyzed boy. I said, was she in the meeting? They said, yes. Okay, let's go to her. We went to her. I said, look, woman, why didn't you bring that child out when I was announcing the child? She said, I'm ashamed. I've never been to church. How long has he been sick? He said from 1.5 years, and then he was 12 at the time. He had been on the wheelchair, never walked from 1.5 years. He was ill, and he got this polio, and he was, you know, confined on the wheelchair for life. He said, I've been to this place. I've been to Obioman. I've been to all this place. When you finished talking, I said, guys, did God not tell us yesterday that he will heal a child, and the child was in the meeting? So if God said I will heal a child and the child was in the meeting, then he had healed the child, really? Only the child is not standing up, but he had healed the child. And I said, look, your child is healed. And I held the hand of the boy, and the boy started running. The woman almost collapsed. She almost collapsed. You know, I share testimonies with you because some of us have complicated God so much. On this trip, I went to Israel. I would have brought the mustard seed to you. I said, I wanted the mustard seed. And they gave me a little tiny thing like this, so grainy. I said, is this what they call mustard seed? Yes. And Jesus said, if you can have it like this, mustard seed. Excuse me. What is God saying to you today? I don't know what you are going through in life. Maybe you have promises of God over your life, but when you look around you, nothing is happening. Good. It cannot happen until the time he has appointed. Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
Marry to a child, a boy of 4, and let him bring a child. Is it possible? No, because at 4 he's running. He wants a wife. Then at 10 he wants a wife. No. There's an appointed time of God. As it is that boy, as a boy, has all the organs of a man, but he's not fully formed. And God will not form him before his time, neither will God form him after his time. That boy has to remain a boy until the fullness of time shall come. So you must remain a child of God, a dedicated servant of God, a seeker of the Most High, until the fullness of time shall come. Your time will come. Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
Let me ask you a question. The Lord asked this question from me a few days ago. What can a man do to have the power of God, to operate in God's power? I asked your brethren in London, if I ask you the same thing, you would say, some said prayer. Isn't it? Yes. Some said fasting. Isn't it? Yes. Some said reading the word of God. Isn't it? Yes. Some said seeking God. Yes. Some said, giving your heart to God. Good. But there are people, some said evangelism. Good. But there are people who pray and go to the mountain to pray and they never saw one vision. Yes?
Yes,
sir. And they do that every month. There are people who fasted for 90 days or more and they never saw one vision for 90 days. All right? There are theologians who spend all their life reading the Bible, yet they can't teach it. They tell stories. They write sermons and tell stories. All right? So, everything we could say, prayer, some prayer, nothing happened. Bible, some read it and they don't know how to understand it, and nothing happens. What does the Bible say that you and I should do to access His power? Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Those who have what? Pure heart and clean hands. First. Then when you pray, He works. Not somebody who is suspecting another person for no reason. For no reason. Or somebody offended you and you cannot forgive them. Someone say, I forgive, I can't forget. You can't forget? Then God won't forget what you did too. Sure. A believer who pick on everything, you are far from God's power. A believer who talks too much, you cannot keep secret things of your friends. God cannot entrust you with deep mystery because you will open your mouth and say things you are not supposed to say. A Christian who get angry and curse somebody, a Christian who get angry and abuse somebody, God will not trust you with His authority. A Christian who is deceitful in his heart. A Christian who finds it hard to love everybody. Everybody, you love them. Because your Father in heaven loved them. A Christian who cannot separate the conduct of a man from the man. You may hate the conduct, but love the man. He's God's image. Somebody messed you up last year, misbehaved so much, offended you, abused you, accused you falsely. He came back and said, I'm sorry. What else do you want to hear? And some people will say that, I know that sorry is not genuine. Are you God who can enter the heart of a man and know the genuity of his speech? Did the Bible not say you forgive everybody who offends you? If somebody offended you, forgive him. It said learn to forgive so that your heavenly Father can forgive you. Listen to me. To have a pure heart, therefore, is what the devil fights with through Facebook, through YouTube, through the television, through billboards. Everywhere the devil is bombarding your heart. He's bombarding your heart and my heart. Through paper, open, buy paper for news. You see a naked woman there. Go on the road, you see some naked men and women and stuff like that. YouTube, flooded with devils. Facebook, you are facing demons. Television news, even during the news, they will break in and Satan will show up. Seeking your heart. Seeking your heart. How do you deal with it? By training your heart to only be mindful of what is of God.
Yes, Lord.
It's so simple. How could you train your heart to be mindful of the word of God? By studying the word regularly. And your heart will be acclimatized to godliness. Godliness is not regulation. No, it is a lifestyle of God that come upon a man when you begin to seek Him truly, sincerely.
And you will stand on the hill. You will see the counsel of the Father. Angels are always around you. I told my members before, make sure you don't die until you have gone to heaven at least once in your life. If that is your eternal home, why can't you go there for a visit? Huh?
So therefore, what is God saying to you? You are not an ordinary child.
Don't behave any longer like an ordinary child. If you look at that story I read down for you, or to you, you will read further down that after Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh, he became the next he was in line of the throne. And then Moses at a time felt, I have to help my people. So he saw an Egyptian molesting the Jew, and he took the Egyptian, broke his neck and buried him, thinking that his Jewish people will commend him for that. The next day he saw two Jews fighting. He said, why do you do that? And the other one said that, you are the murderer of yesterday. You are the murderer of yesterday. Everybody, look at me. He's the murderer of yesterday. What does that teach you? The arm of flesh will fail you. Moses had the calling. He did not understand it, that God has a time for everything. So he tried to help. Arm of flesh will fail you. That's why I said something when I was praying for you, that look, there are some of us who need to know this. Let me say this. When I came to England, I didn't come here to be a pastor, really. I came here to be a multimillionaire. That's it. Legitimately. And I was reading my head out. I was a land surveyor and a mapping scientist, civil engineering, very good in highway design and construction. And I practiced with George Wimpey internationally. So I came here ready for money. And the second year, Jesus appeared to me and stripped me of my ambition at the time. Let me say this to you. When the Lord stripped me of my ambition at the time, He took me out of abundance because I've never suffered. He took everything I had from me. My money vanished. One after the other, everything left. Because I never suffered. So He had to take me to the place of suffering. So that now when somebody says that I don't have money in my pocket, I can't accuse them. I know you cannot. Some people may not have anything to eat. I didn't have food to eat in London for 3 months. I had only grain. They called Gary. If you don't know that, as an Englishman, you only need to go with me on a missionary journey. And I give you Gary every day for 7 days. It's a cassava grain, like a pudding. And the cassava grain was half of the pan. And we drank and ate that grain for 3 months daily, and it did not go down. All right? So at the end of the third month, my wife wasn't working, I wasn't working. Who is putting more grain in this place? There is a God in heaven. All right? I had no money to the place where I should beg, but there was no one to beg. I was just alone. In England, everybody mind his own business, isn't it? Until God gave me a job to work at Oxen Bay in Tower Bridge. All right? They sell animal fur. And I went there to work as a laborer, helping them to count the fur. And the whole of my head was covered with dust. I didn't know that. And I came up, they gave me a number, you know? And so with an overall. And when it was break time, I came out with my overall, with the number, the whole of my head was full of fur, the air gray. And I went to a restaurant, and people were looking at me, and they were smiling to me, and I was smiling to them. I never knew that I look funny, you know? I didn't know that. And then I sat down, and in New Cross, you buy fish and cheese for £1 in those days. At least 99p. So, and someone had given me £2, so I was to spend 99p to buy fish and chips. So I went to this restaurant, and they gave me menu. And I marked what I wanted to eat, fish and chips. And when I marked fish and chips, the guy came to me and said, do you want a Coke as well? You can't take another fish and chips. I said, well, if you want to give me a Coke, go ahead. He gave me a Coke. And at the end of my eating, he brought a bill. I said, what is this? He said, that is what you ate. I said, no, I ate fish and chips. In New Cross, it's 99p. Man, this is my £1. He said, you must be kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. I'm telling you, you want to rip me off? And the guy said that this is restaurant. I said, what do you mean by restaurant? In my school, that's how I ate it. I go to restaurant in my school, 99p, I take fish and chips and I go. And so a Chinese boy saw us and he said, "What is happening here?" I said, "Look, I ate fish and chips. And I gave this man £1, expected to give me a P." And he's like, with me. And the Chinese boy said to me that, don't mind him. He said, give me the bill. He said, look, he brought the menu and said, order anything you want. I said, what I ate already was putting me into trouble. I couldn't eat more. So, he said, just take it. He said, I was like you. You're a student, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm in the uni. He said, okay, all right, just eat anything. I said, no, I'm all right. He said, are you sure? I said, all right. He said, give me the bill. And he paid the bill. And then I went with my mates. We got back to the, 2 hours is gone. We go to resume. So we went to the toilet before we go to resume. And I saw myself. I said, oh, my, this is how you look? I love. We went and walked. And when I walked that day, the guy that I was working for dashed me £18. And £18 was the weekly wage we earned for morning cleaning. So I came back home with £18 after a long time of no penny. So my chicken at that time was £1.20 or something like that, the whole chicken. And we bought chicken after 3 months of drinking pudding, curry, Listen to me. But when I was down, we celebrated God. I one day told my wife, you know how faith works. She said, darling, how? I said, I command £10 into that pocket. Go and check the pocket. She will go and open the pocket, nothing there. I said, I command £20 into that pocket. Go there and open it. She goes there, opening, nothing there. I said, bring up my books. And brought my books. I command £20 to that book. Open the book. She opens the book. I'm not telling you a joke. That's my wife. Asked. She obeyed me. When we opened all the books and I commanded money into all pockets in my house and nothing was there, what did we do? We sang praises. Hallelujah, somebody. We sang praises. My wife never said to me that you brought me here to come and stab me. You just stop and damn, just stop and stop. No, we were celebrating. So if I find money everywhere in my house today, nobody should blame me for it. I commanded it when I had no money. I commanded it. The Bible says he who descended to the lowest part for God to raise Jesus to the highest place, he had to first go to the lowest region. Yes. Listen to me. Satan may rock your boat. He may block the way. If he blocks your way, stand with him there. His days, he has expiry. If you command the mountain to move, it did not move, start climbing it. Listen to me. At the end of it, Moses fled. Okay? The people he wanted to help sent him on the journey. That's happened to you before? People you have helped turn against you. Don't be angry for that. Do you know if they didn't do that to Moses, he would not see the angel? It was in that wilderness that the angel of destiny appeared to him. If you hear my word today, you're on the pathway to your angel of destiny.
Amen.
Always have this in your mind before we pray. You are not an ordinary child. Listen to me. The faith that Jesus needs is a tiny little faith. But that faith comes when you have full trust and confidence in him. And how could you? By turning away your eyes from everything. As far as I'm concerned, if you tell me anything I ask you is in the Bible, if it's not the Bible, I don't take it. I can't believe anything for my life when it's not written. Any dream I have, if I have a dream and the dream is not good, as far as I'm concerned, it's no grata. That dream cannot come to pass. Okay? I won't go about saying that, do you know how they dream they were chasing me? If they chased me on the dream, well, maybe God said pursue him. just supposed to him. Some people, if they chase them on the dream, they wake up and begin to pray. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Waste my time because I had a dream and they were chasing me. If I don't like the chasing, I command my spirit to go back to that dream and chase them back. Not if they chase you in the dream. Why are you praying when you are awake? No, you should do it when you're in the dream. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So if I go on a dream and they chase me, and I wake up and I don't like that chasing, I say, you go there. Chase them back or don't wake up. Okay? And I go back and I sleep. Oh, I saw something scary in my dream. It doesn't mean anything. Someone came to me before, I said, Apostle, the moment I close my eyes, they are feeding me. And he said, I know that you have the power of God in you. You will deliver me. I said, you know, I will deliver you. Yes. I said, let me tell you how I will deliver you. If you go to the dream and they are feeding you, once you wake up from the dream, say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You don't need to eat when you wake up. You're a fool, man. You don't need to eat when you wake up. The lady looked at me and said, Apostle. I said, yeah. He said, but I was told that if they feed me on my dream, it will appear, it will be this and it will be that and it will be that. Show me in the Bible. The only person who was told to eat on the trance is Peter.
Yes.
And he did it, kill and eat. And nothing happened to him when he came out of the trance. What is your body? The temple of God. So if you eat into your body, where do you eat into? The temple of God. Then let the God of the temple handle it. If he can't handle it, it's not your business. You're a caretaker of the body. I said to him, stay here. 3 months, you won't eat on the dream again. Just do it. After him, when I call, sister, come out. When last did they feed you? He said, I don't have the dream again. I said, that's it. If you don't have enough word of God in you, the devil will make it myself.
Yes.
Those things don't matter nothing. Choose the word of God. Love the God of the world. Seek his face. Commit your heart to him. Take away your eyes from the storms of life and fix your eyes on Jesus. Let me say something. There is a better tomorrow because you are not an ordinary child. Let's stand up on our feet. We're going to pray right now. I want to pray for yourself from the book of Romans chapter 8. He said, for those God foreknew, okay, so that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. We are going to pray, Father, anything in me that is not conforming with you, take them out. Empower me tonight. Lord, empower me. Transform my reasoning. Let me see like Jesus see. Let me know like Jesus know. Let me operate like Jesus operate. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Bible says, thanks be to God, he always gives us victory. Thanks be to God, he always gives us victory. Lift up your voice and bless his name. Manderebo sharabo sikare baridanda. Tell the Lord, take out of me anything that can hinder me. Take them out of me, Lord Jesus. Oribale bondra sekerebo shupari malonda. Flush me of everything that is contrary to you. Tell the Lord, empower me, empower me. Empower me, O God. Empower me, O God. Rabobo shaparagedobo silamande. Whatever you ask, remember God will do it. Empower me, Lord Jesus. Empower me, Lord Jesus. Empower me, Lord Jesus. Reketore more body malema sundara kiria. Father God, I pray thee. In Jesus' anointed name we are praying.
Amen.
Now I'll lead you through some few prayers, about three. In the book of Psalm 145, verse 10, it says, verse 4, it says, no, let me read from verse 3. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. This is your God. Your God is so great you cannot size him up. Come on now. If God is so great, why should we be afraid? We need to put God where he is.
Then he went further to say, one generation will commend your work to another and will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Now, what will you give to generations behind you? That's what we want to pray about. We talk about Moses, what God did through him. We talk about Abraham, what God did through him. We talk about Philip, what God did through him. What will be spoken about you? There is wonders to be done in your life that should be told to other generations. All right? You are a model to those who are younger. So we're going to pray. He says, one generation will commend your works to another and tell of your mighty acts. They will speak about your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. You're going to pray and say, Father, manifest your power in my life so that generations to come will have a testimony through me. Lift up your voice and let's ask him. Let there be manifestation of the power of God over my life, the glory of God over my life. Manifest your mercy over my life. Manifest your glory, your power, your grace, so that generations to come will read my testimony. Use me, Lord, in this time, that generations to come will read my life and my testimony. As I read about Elijah, let those who come after me read about me. As I read about Joshua, let those coming out behind me read about me. Tell the Lord. He said they will tell of your power, your awesome works, and they will proclaim your deed. Let your awesomeness manifest in me. Let your awesome power manifest in me. They will deliberate upon your abundant goodness. Tell the Lord, let your goodness be manifest over me. Your abundant goodness, O God. Rondo Cerebo Sharia. Oh Lord, I pray thee. Oh Lord, I pray thee. I pray thee, O God, manifest your goodness, manifest your glory, manifest your power. Tell the Lord, use me for the revival of Bristol. Use me for the revival of United Kingdom. Use me to bring many back to the cross. Anoint my word with power, Lord Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' anointed name we are praying. The third prayer that I will lead you is this. That's in Psalm 145. Look at what it says in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. He has compassion on all he has made. Then he says, and all you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. Why? Because he has compassion. Look at the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. Exodus 33, verse 19. You want to pray a prayer now. This is what happened to Moses. 33:19. It says, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord. In your presence, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. We want to pray for God's mercy and compassion. God said to Moses, I will cause my name to pass before you, and I proclaim my name. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love. And he says, then all my goodness will come. So it means that when God sends his goodness, you will manifest in your gift. Amen. The goodness of God will bring healing to your body. Amen. The goodness of God will bring wealth to your home. Amen. It will bring you knowledge, insight. It will bring you favor, all goodness. You see, when I read this, what came to my mind is that God doesn't need all his goodness in heaven. He doesn't need it. He created it for you and I who believe. He says, I will call all my goodness. So there's nothing you will need that is outside God's goodness. So we're going to pray, Father, have mercy on me. Have compassion on me. I'm the one that you have compassion on. Cause all your goodness to come upon me. Pray this prayer. You know, we have Brexited already. And the boat is rocking a little bit. When we get to January to March, there'll be a lot of rocking. Serious rocking. I'm not very sure we will be bold enough to trigger Article 50. And I speak as a lawyer. Because when we look at the Article 50 itself, they are now coming to recognize that it's a compound article which would take a long time for it to be activated. Controversy between the parliamentary power and prerogative power, that the prime minister has no right in law, and that's correct, because the mandate does not have effect. That is correct. So we're going to have a lot of dichotomy in the parliament, serious, from January. Okay? Then we're going to have a lot of problems on the economy of nations. Always is affected by rumor. If there is good rumor of promise, you see the economy go up. When there is bad rumor of uncertainty, you see the economy come down. But you know what? Whether it blow to pieces, it go up or come down, you will be blessed.
Amen.
The Bible says, in the days of famine, my people will enjoy plenty. Let me give you a testimony before you pray. A lady came to me before I went to Israel and said, I was sacked. I said, why are you sacked? She said, I failed. She's an accountant, and she's having internship, all right, with a company, you know, one of these big companies, you know, in the ranks of Deloitte. And they fired her because she failed the exam. You know, internship is that the company is paying for you and training you to become a qualified accountant. Then she did the final exam and failed. They sacked her. So I said, don't worry, everything will be okay. I went to Israel. Before I came back from Israel, her director spoke to Barclays Bank, and Barclays Bank called her for interview. They spoke to KPMG. They called her for interview. Then the same company that she's working with, the office in Jersey, called her and said, would you like to join us in Jersey? And she said, but you know, you are the same company. It's a branch. She said, yes. He said, do you know I failed my exam? He said, yeah, that's why we're calling you. They said, now, we will give you employment in Jersey, all right, which will be internship, which you will still qualify, but it will not be attached to you whether you pass or fail. Do you see solution?
Yeah.
So she brought it to me and said, that should I say yes? Listen to me. In the time of famine, the Bible says my people will enjoy plenty. So we're going to pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. As you have mercy on Bartimaeus, have mercy on me. As we are going into the new year, single me out, O God. Let your goodness pass before me. Lift up your voice and let's pray together. Let your goodness pass before me. Let all your goodness pass before me. Let all your goodness pass in my house. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. You said, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Lord, I cry to you, oh my God. Have mercy upon me, Lord God. Have mercy upon me, Lord God. Have compassion on me, oh God. Let all your goodness pass before me. Let your goodness pass before me. Proclaim your name before me, oh Lord. Lord, I ask you for mercy. Oh, sovereign Lord. Rabale gebomba serebori malerande saria. Tell the Lord, lead me to the house of plenty in this time of shaking in Britain. Lead me to the house of plenty. According to your promise, oh God, it shall be well with us. It shall be well with your church. Father, we bless you, Lord. We give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' anointed name, we are praying with thanksgiving. Father, it is written, Isaiah 14:24. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I plan, it shall be.
Amen.
As I purpose, it will stand, says the Lord. In the book of Jeremiah 29, from verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have towards you, says the Lord. The plans to give you hope and a future. The plans not to hurt you, but the plans to give you hope and a future. And you said in Isaiah 55, verse 8, I know my thought towards you. And the book of Numbers 23, verse 19, you say, for God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he will change his mind. You have not changed your mind about these people. Lord, I ask you that a book of remembrance be opened concerning everyone here
Amen.
Tonight. Malachi 3:16 says, those who fear the Lord talk to each other. The Lord listened and heard. A book of remembrance was opened concerning those who fear the Lord and honored him. Because these people have come to honor you tonight. Father, I ask that your heaven will honor them.
Amen.
I ask that your angels will honor them.
Amen.
Lord, when I testify about you to men, I ask you, Lord, tonight, according to the word of Joel, you said when you pour your spirit upon all men, sons and daughters will prophesy. Let your holy fire rest upon all these lips.
Amen.
Let this lip begin to prophesy.
Amen.
You said that the young men shall see visions, Lord.
Amen.
Open their eyes to the realm of visions.
Amen.
Open their eyes to the realm of visions.
Amen.
Give them the spirit of insight
Amen.
And the power of sight
Amen.
To be able to see and comprehend.
Amen.
To be able to comprehend and understand.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret thing belongs to God, and things revealed belong to us. Lord, I ask you in this weekend that you will visit everyone here.
Amen.
Reveal the mystery of their lives to them.
Amen.
Reveal the mandate of heaven to them.
Amen.
Reveal to them the gift that you have made available to
Amen.
Them. How great it is when man hear your voice. Open every ear here. To be able to hear your audible voice. If Peter saw trance and Cornelius before he was born again, saw an angel in the broad daylight. Oh, my King, open the eyes of everyone here.
Amen.
Father, send your angels to everyone here.
Amen.
As you led Moses to the angel of destiny, Father, in this year, lead everyone under my voice to the angel of their destiny.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, my King, in this year, lead everyone under my voice to the angel of their destiny.
Amen.
When they bow their knees to pray to you, Father, hear from heaven.
Amen.
When they will desire in their heart to pray, empower them from within.
Amen.
Father, when they desire to read your word, empower them from within.
Amen.
Lord, when they desire to do your will, empower them from within.
Amen.
Lord, we commit this house to you. You are the builder of this house. Be glorified in the midst
Amen.
Of them. Lord, you are the builder of this house. Be glorified in the midst of them.
Amen.
Somebody who just had a bad news from the doctor, I revoke that news in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I speak unto you. Every covenant that God has written in the Bible shall come to pass in your life.
Amen.
Because God did not covenant with us because we are perfect beings, he covenanted with us because of the blood of his son. We enter into the blood of Jesus and obtain mercy.
Amen.
I call for the manifestation of covenant over your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you are sick in your body, according to the word of God, you are made whole.
Amen.
Your gum is healed.
Amen.
Your back and waist is healed.
Amen.
Your spine is healed.
Amen.
The organs of your body, heart, pancreas, liver, healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The cartilage of your body, the joints of your bones, your knees, marebos sekrendabai, your thigh bones are healed in the name of
Amen.
Jesus as of Nazareth. Blood is renewed.
Amen.
Every high blood pressure, I command you to receive healing right
Amen.
Now. If anybody is here with diabetes, you are made whole in the name of
Amen.
Jesus as of Nazareth. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Anyone bound with chains, I command your chains and fetters be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. If anyone has been hindered by the devil, I bind every evil spirit that hinder man. I loose in the name of Jesus
Amen.
As of Nazareth. Oh, sovereign Lord, above all, you send the book of Exodus 23 from verse 20, I send my angel ahead of you to lead you to the place I prepared for you.
Yes,
You say you must listen to him and do what I say. Father, give everyone here the listening ear.
Amen.
And the heart to do your will.
Amen.
Not our will anymore, but your will be done.
Amen.
Give us a heart to love everybody.
Amen.
Give us a heart to love humanity.
Amen.
Give us a heart to love the people you have made.
Amen.
That we will not go about condemning people, Lord.
Amen.
But we will go about redeeming people, Jesus.
Amen.
Wherever we come from, I declare, nations will listen to your voice.
Amen.
We wait for the redemption of our great country, United Kingdom. Oh Lord, my God, there is no news that catches you unawares. We call for revival of United Kingdom in this season.
Amen.
From coast to coast, let our nation be engulfed with fire.
Amen.
As this nation has sent forth missionaries, great men and women, in the past, in our days, renew them, O God.
Amen.
Revive our land again, O God.
Amen.
From the Buckingham Palace to the parliaments,
Amen.
Lord Jesus, to the streets of Great Britain,
Amen.
Let our streets be filled with revival in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus Christ. Everyone that have come from all nations of the world with their idols, send revival to this land that all the idols will be destroyed with fire.
Amen.
Lord, they will become renewed in their spirit.
Amen.
They will move back to the ends of the earth carrying the fire. For this we live and this we ask. Thank you, Lord, because it's done.
Amen.
As we ask in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the King of Heaven. Hallelujah. God bless you and thank you for coming.
Take our offering now. I'll ask the choir to